A broken down Chrysler?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Chrysler has until midnight tonight to make a deal that would keep it out of bankruptcy. Early this morning, talks with a group of its creditors broke down. Reporter Steve Henn joins us. Steve, why did the talks collapse?
Chrysler owes its creditors just about $7 billion. And earlier this week, banks that own the lion's share of that debt agreed to take about $2 billion and walk away. But a group of hedge funds, about 40 hedge funds, balked at that. And it looks like unless Chrysler can get them to agree by midnight tonight, it's going to have to file for bankruptcy.
So the hedge funds want a better deal, but what kind of deal would they get if Chrysler went bankrupt?
Well, a bankruptcy judge could and likely would force these hedge funds to take the deal the government's offering now. But, you know, these hedge funds often make pretty complex investments, and they might have mixed motives. Some have big stakes in Ford and GM, and they might hope by forcing Chrysler into bankruptcy that they will shrink its market share and benefit its competitors, making their investments in its competitors more valuable.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Other hedge funds may have taken out credit default swaps on Chrysler's debt. Now, remember, credit default swaps are really just insurance policies. So if Chrysler goes into bankruptcy, these insurance policies pay off and these hedge funds make money. So what's fascinating here is that the hedge funds that are buying Chrysler's debt may not necessarily have a financial interest in Chrysler's survival or in helping Chrysler emerge as a thriving company.
So what happens next?
Well, if no deal is struck by midnight, Chrysler will go into bankruptcy. It looks like the deal with Fiat is intact. The deal with Chrysler's workers is intact. And if all goes smoothly, Chrysler could emerge from bankruptcy relatively quickly as a leaner company.
Marketplace's Steve Henn, thank you.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, General Motors bondholders made their latest offer this morning. They want a 58% stake in a restructured GM. The company had offered them just a 10% stake. The government says this morning new jobless claims declined unexpectedly last week. The number of people continuing to draw benefits, though, that set another record, topping 6.3 million. Consumer spending fell in March for the first time in 3 months. Income growth slipped again. Both of those numbers were a bit worse than expected. European stocks are up around 2% this morning. Asian shares jumped 3 to 4% today. Yesterday, the Dow added 168 points and closed at 8,185. The swine flu outbreak is another cruel blow to brand Mexico. A country dependent on tourism is trying to overcome a murderous drug trade and now a potential deadly pandemic. From the Americas desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Mexico is desperate to improve its image among foreign travelers, but spinning drug gangs is a piece of cake compared to explaining away an outbreak of swine flu. Kevin McCauley covers the public relations business for O'DwyerPR.com.
Swine flu is mysterious. It's insidious. It's a very different problem. Hard, almost impossible to deal with.
McCauley says because Mexico is so interlocked with the U.S., Mexico faces a bigger challenge than did Asia during the SARS epidemic of 2003.
First thing they have to do is to reassure people in the United States that the swine flu situation is being aggressively taken care of. And there has to be then a period of maybe 6 months or so where there are no more outbreaks. And then we can start talking about travel to Mexico.
Mexico is in the process of hiring a U.S. PR firm to help spread this message. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. American Public Media presents the Poetry Radio Project. You can hear unique perspectives on global events and American culture at americanpublicmedia.org/poetry.
We've been asking you how you're dealing with the economic fallout. For lots of you, it's all about debt. Sabrina Regal lives in Southern California. She's in her early 40s, works in the entertainment industry. She was losing control of her credit cards. She turned to a debt counseling service called Springboard. Here's what happened.
When I moved down here, I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any friends. And I think that's why I used shopping as to fill that void. I had, gosh, 5, 6. I had about 7 credit cards. It was just stupid stuff. You know what I mean? Just buying a lot of clothes, shoes, frivolous things. I sat down one day and just took all my bills and realized that I was $40,000 in credit card debt. And I thought, oh my God. I wasn't always able to make the minimum payment. And when people were calling me, I felt like there was a part of me that was very private that all of a sudden I'm totally exposed. And it felt humiliating. The credit counseling service fixed all that, and I thought it was going to be very bleak. Like, we're going to take all your money, and we're just going to put it toward your credit cards, and you're going to be left with $50 a month for food, gas, everything else, you know? And I thought I would be eating top ramen every night. When I talked to the counselor, he said to me, he's like, you know what, this really isn't that bad. You're going to pay this off in 3 years, and you're going to save tens of thousands of dollars in interest payments. I just was blown away how quickly they brought down the interest rates on all my cards. I mean, I had some cards that were about like 26%, and they got them down to 9%. There's that sense of control, too, of, you know, I have a really strict budget. I know exactly what goes into my account every month and everything that goes out. I look for sale items at the grocery store. Before, I didn't care. I had to have that name brand ketchup. Now it's like, you know, well, the store brand's on sale. It's cheaper, you know, I'm going to try it. I'm not crazy in terms of buying things anymore. I don't have that lust or that urge anymore. You know, I changed the way I look at life. I changed the way I look at my future. I don't use it anymore to fill a void, I guess.
Stacey Vanek-Smith produced that piece. I hope you'll keep sharing your stories with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.